Today's going to be just a little different. However, I pray that you will leave this place knowing that you have met your Lord and Savior, the Creator of the world, as we've been saying, who lives inside of us. Chris, would you like to share?
I know I'd mentioned last week that we were having some house issues. I had a lot of time to think this week and partially drive my family a little nuts. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but every once in a while you find yourself kind of throwing yourself a pity party. For the sake of context, we've moved since we've been married about 10 times. We've rented a bit. We've owned several homes. And as part of my pity party this week, I was complaining to my wife that I feel like I've spent my entire adult life fixing up homes to turn around for other people to then enjoy. Because we've only managed to make money off of one home we've sold. Every other time it's been sold in a down market or something twice. Wait, what? We've made money. Which was the second one? Okay. Apparently we've made money twice, but the other one I surely don't remember. I mention all that because last Saturday my dad and I were putting in a new back door in my garage. And in the process of doing it, we found out that what we thought was stucco on the outside of the house is not. And it was put over all the original wood siding. This new stuff that was put on in the 90s has trapped all the moisture and has completely rotted all of the wood on the house. So now we have to tear everything off the outside of the house and do all new sheathing and all new siding on the house, which is an expense we weren't ready for. And then we find out from insurance that they're only going to cover maybe about half of it because of what it is. So I was more than a little disgusted at this because I'm not so good at seeing my way through to the other side of it quite as quickly as my wife is. God darn her. However, I want to use this as an encouragement for everyone else here, and that may seem a little odd, but it's very easy, and I have an extraordinarily hard time with this as an engineer, frankly, not looking at the problem and focusing on the problem, but seeing past it. Oftentimes I can see what the solution is, but I don't take a lot of comfort in it, right? I had a few unkind words for the Lord on the side this week, early on, but the problem was my focus, right? Instead of focusing on all the things that he's blessed me with and the things that I do have and all the times that he's taken care of me, I was focusing on the latest problem, and I was already kind of feeling overwhelmed before that happened, and so it just wasn't good. But then I had to sit back and I had to start thinking, no, go back to the whole children's song of count your blessings, name them one by one. And you start sitting back and you start thinking about it. Okay, well, I'm upright and breathing, so that's step one. I don't go to bed hungry. I have a good job that lets me take care of my family. I don't worry about what I have to wear or that I have shoes or that I have a way to get me to work. And you just keep going with that. And at that point, you just feel like a total jerk for being upset about things. At least I do. My wife didn't make me feel that way, nor did my kids, because they didn't have to. I kind of did it to myself. But nonetheless, I don't have any idea what anybody out here in the congregation is facing this morning. some people kind of wear it on their sleeves, and you can see it. And other people tend to just kind of maybe suffer in silence or just don't share it. But as James has said several times as he's been recovering about the God that we serve, he knows what it is, he cares about what it is, and he cares about you. And even when it looks like maybe he doesn't, try to look past that. Look at what you do have. And then, and this is the hardest part, and this is 10 fingers pointing back at me as I say this. Try to think of what maybe he's trying to do in your character with whatever this situation is. I have a very hard time with that. But anyway, I don't know how much of a testimony per se that is, more of an admonishment. Don't be like this guy. So anyway, thanks.
Okay, so I was reading what Pastor told us to read last week, and I came, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I came across verse 3 and 4. Enduring suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. We're all in God's army. So I guess that's your pep talk for the week. Don't get too tied up in the things of this world, because Jesus has you all on a mission, and together, we as a congregation, as a family of believers, we have a mission. And it brought to my mind when I served 22 years in the Army Reserves, and I lived the civilian life, but the hard thing was, you know, you had to leave your family for just a weekend and then 2 weeks out of the year, and then it became where you were deployed for at least 12 months out of the year. You were away from your family. And I spent over 2 years away from my family, so I had to leave them. I had to leave everything behind because I had to focus on a mission that I signed up to do. And so anyway, I was just another, you know, it might be trivia, but it's an added addition to, you know, making us wake up to this is who we are. If you're a believer in Christ, he puts you on a mission. And when he assigns you to do it, you better do it, because his justice is greater than the United States Code of Military Justice. Anyway.
Thank you, Ruth. Yeah, prayer here is, I mean, prayer is just unbelievable when you think what prayer actually is. You get to talk to the creator of the world, universe, and he hears and listens to your prayers. I guess you've noticed by now that service is a little bit different. Pastor James had some setbacks this week and wasn't able to get his sermon ready. So it's more of a testimony Sunday, song service Sunday. And Chris had shared a testimony. And I want to share one too. Donna mentioned about generations. The first song we sang was like generations, generations, sing of the mercies of the Lord. And this is a secret. So if you know my father, don't tell him. He has desire to have his farm classified as century farm. And that means going to the courthouse, finding when the house was sold and or farm was bought and sold and stuff like that. So my grandfather, Ammon, bought it in 1922. So it actually does come under the distinction of a century farm. So,
which means what?
Which means it's been, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's been in the same family for 100 years. And he bought it in 1922. And the reason it's a surprise is because I want to try and get this together for his birthday gift. So, and it's as a surprise. So, but anyway, in researching that, and Ammon, my history with Ammon, I think I was 2 years old maybe when he passed. So I don't have a history with Ammon. And, in researching, I was able to talk to Suzanne at the courthouse and we were online, you know, with different, you know, devices. We were able to get the documents. And I noticed that, he had 18 different transactions listed in the deed books in the courthouse. Ammon C. Feig did. And one was in Jefferson Township, so I thought, I'm just going to open it up and read it. And here he was part of the board that signed the purchase agreement when the farm behind us here where Lewis lived was sold to the church. The church purchased it from George C. Duncan, Dunkelberger, Dr. Dunkelberger. But what I found was kind of eye-opening to me, and we talk about generations and generations and the legacy we leave behind. You know, Ammon C. Feig was in this church when that happened, you know, on the board. I'm his grandson. I'm on the board in this church, kind of like passing on the baton. And here's another thing, if you've been around me the last couple months, the amount of elapsed years from 1970, if you go from 1918 to 1970, it's the same amount of time as 1970 to 2023. So that just kind of was like a blow my mind kind of thing, because 1918 seems like forever ago, but I remember 1970 a little bit because I was two, but for me to think that from 1918 to 1970 and then 70 to 2023, it's just a little hard to grasp. That amount of time is the same amount of time. But I guess I say all this just because Ammon, I didn't know him, but just looking that he was involved in the church and lived his faith, and now, you know, I'm involved in the church and living my faith, and this is a tough part. And our son, this past week, yeah, it was Tuesday, he was driving through the snow, dropping our grandchildren off at the babysitter, and swallow that one down. And Madeline, her granddaughter, is in the back seat singing. And Maddie's in the back seat. All in her locked down, like they locked them down today in their car seats, singing Jesus Loves Me. I'm thinking, that's tough. But my point is, we do share, we do pass things to generations. It's how, what you find important and what you pour your life into. And, you know, you love the Lord and, you know, what I said earlier about our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And just that, what is available to us as Christians, that we can go to the Creator of the world and He wants to be part of our lives, is just unbelievable. It's like you're playing a video game, and if you don't know the Lord, there's no power up. But once you know the Lord, there is a power up, and it's unbelievable. So, praise God. And if anybody, it's really, I know Ernie has said he'd like to share, but if there's someone else has something that they'd like to share, please, you know, please share.
Right. This is like the theme. It's part of my life. I was part of the Army Reserves for 22 years. I spent one weekend up at Fort Indiantown Gap. It was probably the worst, one of the worst weekends I was there, next to when I was in ROTC and it was snowing and it was so cold, and I was low crawling up a hill because there was artillery simulators going off. But anyway, I digress. But they had a chaplain, and we had Saturday night service, and it was in a tent, and we had service in a tent, you know, when we had the COVID thing. Anyway, they had to turn the generator off because they were refueling it, and there was a female chaplain that she was no taller than me, and she just stood at the front of where we were sitting, and she read out of the Gideon's Bible by flashlight. And she read Matthew 20, the parable of the vineyard workers. So I'll read a little bit of that. "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowners who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard at noon, and again at 3 o'clock he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, 'Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last.'" So there she was, and all of you had have been there. But when she was reading those words jumped out at me. And I realized that it doesn't matter what time in your life that you come to Christ. What matters is that you come to Christ. And you get the same reward. You get to go to heaven. And I think that was one of the best services that I ever was at. Very simple. And it just came to those words. I mean, his word is alive. And so anyway, I think maybe that's why, part of the reason why I joined the Army Reserves, because it was a fixed moment in time that God had planned that I would hear those words and understand that you need to come to Christ.
Dennis texted me yesterday saying about pastors. I thought I'd bring about bring up some things that are happening. Like, I like to talk about things that are happening around the world and how God's hand is in it all. I mean, we see it on TV, we see it everywhere, see it on social media, it's amazing. But anyway, I want to bring out two things. One I just learned this week, one was a little bit ago, and some of you might have seen it. But it's in reference to, first one is in reference to Genesis 12, 2 and 3. If you want to look that up, Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I'm going to read that. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. This is talking to Abraham. God is talking to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Now he's talking to Abraham, and Abraham is the father of Israel, of his chosen people. Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was on TV, it was on different places. But anyway, over in Turkey, they were having a parliament meeting in the government. And a member of the parliament was railing and cursing Israel with all his might. And the microphone in front of all the cameras. Well, guess what? The curse fell on him. And he died on the spot when he was done. Fell right over, right there, right behind the podium. Plop. It was on the camera. So God's judgment came quickly there in that case. But it's in reference to, you curse Israel, if you curse Israel, you won't be blessed. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. Very simple. The one I learned this week, in reference to Ephesians 5:5. I'm going to flip to Ephesians 5:5. It's in reference to immorality. And here, I mean, it talks about this throughout the Bible. We hear about this homosexual issue and stuff in churches and in our society and the trans and all that good stuff. But according to the Bible, this is wrong. This is sexual immorality. And it says right here in 5:5, Ephesians 5:5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's many scriptures that refer to sexual immorality. And anyway, if you talk to Catholics, and you talk about maybe the Pope, who does the Pope represent in the Catholic Church? that represents Peter.
He's in Peter's line, but they would technically say he's basically Christ's representative.
Christ's representative, yeah, in the line of Peter. Okay. So, and this is in reference to, I think, in reference to Matthew 16, 17, and 19. Say Matthew 16, 17 and 19. And here Jesus is asking Peter the question, who do you say that I am? But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And Peter answers him and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then 17 to 19 says, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this is not was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So in reference to that, on December 17th, this past December, Pope Francis gave the okay to bless homosexual couples. Now, where's Pope Francis from? Where's his home country? South America, Argentina. In Argentina. From what city in Argentina? I'm going to mess up the name here, but it's Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires. I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly. But it is the capital of Argentina. And he was there at the church back in the day. Now he's in Rome, but back in the day, he was there at the church. And on this church, on the top of the church, is a statue. And this is a statue of Peter. Well, this statue on December 17th was struck by lightning. This happens also to be the Pope's birthday, December 17th. Now there's when they build these things, they put a bunch of lightning rods around them and that kind of thing in case it gets struck by lightning. Well, it didn't go down through the lightning rod. It hit the statue itself. Well, this particular statue, and you've probably seen it, statues or pictures anyway like this. But anyway, Peter has a halo around his head. And this represents goodness or glorification. In his right hand in this statue is a set of keys. Okay? And you can see how it ties right into that scripture. But anyway, in his right hand is a set of keys. And when a priest or something gives a blessing to people, he uses his right hand. So that's a symbol of power, the right hand. The right hand, God, Christ is on the right hand of God. Okay? So the keys, according to the scripture, are supposed to represent the keys to heaven. Well, when this lightning bolt hit this statue, it removed the halo and it melted the keys in the right hand of the statue. On December 17th, in the Pope's hometown, on his birthday. That's my testimony.
Anyone else have anything to share?
And they don't know what's wrong with him or anything. But I saw him very, very weak. And he went backwards on the bed. And he was ashen colored. And I just said, "Oh, Father." And instantly, in my mind, God reminded me, fear does not come from me. And instantly, I was relieved of the fear and emotion that I was feeling. And of course, God did bring him out. He was fine. But I think all the years that I've been a Christian, and there are a lot of them, I was 8 years old, so this year I'll be too many. Anyway, in all those years, all the scripture that we read over and over and over as we're studying in the Word, certain things stick with you. Never going to go away, and that's one of them. And it was just like he just poured syrup on me, and that was it. I'm not scared anymore, and everything's fine, you know. It was a God thing, and I've had other touches from the Father. So I just want to share that whatever scriptures come to your mind when you are stressed, use them, because God just answered immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, Shara. Yeah, that's one of the things Pastor has told us over and over, to get in the Word. And the reason is because when the enemy comes attacking, that's what we're going to use to send him packing. I didn't really plan on that rhyming, but.
Anybody have a favorite hymn?
247.
You may remain seated. 247. Any more? Okay. Oh, yes, Sarah.
I love to have my blessings, but if God came down today and told me, explained to me why the things that hurt happen, they would not, I do not have the scope of imagination to accept his reasons. Like, I know that about myself. Like, I am small and he is big, and I will never be able to accept his vision for why things happen. But he tells me that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and the garden matters in Genesis because he's restoring all things, and we're going to be people greater. And all of the things that we've lost are going to be people-y there too. So in all the 10 years of moving and all of the saying goodbye, we say goodbye because we say, the trumpet's going to be sound, and the Lord is going to come, and I'm going to be able to have coffee with you again. No matter what happens, I'm going to be able to go out and have coffee and cookie with you, because there's a new, because he's restoring all things.
Amen.
So my soul as well, because he promised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
like to just read Romans 8. Kind of goes along with what you said, Sarah. Romans 8, verses 28 through the end. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, I'm related to Dennis, by the way, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Claim it.